Good evening, members and officers. Welcome to the meeting of Cabinet Monday, 14th of June, 2021. Sorry, I got that mixed up there. I'll be sitting in for Councillor Goodfellow for the entire meeting. He's not able to make the meeting tonight. Can I ask Andrew Davis, please, if we had any apologies for absence?
Thank you, Chairman. We've received apologies from Councillor Goodfellow and Cabinet Support Member Councillor McGarry.
Thank you. Item two, is there any declarations of interest? None. Item three, to approve as a correct record the meeting of the minutes of meeting held on 10th of May 2021. Has anybody got any amendments or issues with them? No. Take that as a sign then. Can you have a seconder, please? Councillor Ashcroft. All of those in favour? That's carried. Item four, to consider any urgent business. Is there any urgent business?
There's no urgent business.
No urgent business, thank you. Item five, forward plan. Chief Executive, please.
Thank you, Chairman. This is the forward plan from the 1st of June this year, right the way through to the 30th of September. Happy to take any questions on the forward plan, Chairman.
Are there any questions from members? No. Thank you. Item six, revenue and capital outturn report, final outturn for the year 2020-2022. Can I ask Lisa Turner to present the report, please?
Thank you, Chair. So this report covers the draft outturn position for the 2021 financial year, covering the revenue, capital budgets, treasury management activities, as well as the business rates retention scheme, and a summary of the key corporate and strategic risks facing the authority. The revenue budget outturn is set out at section 4 of the report, and the outturn highlights net pressures of 2.4 million against the original net budget of just over 11 million. The vast majority of these pressures are directly linked to the COVID-19 pandemic, and therefore, after taking into account the actual and estimated additional financial support from government associated with the pandemic, this results in a small net surplus of 0.3 million. Or 2.5% against the net revenue budget. Considering the unprecedented impact of the pandemic, overall this is a positive outcome and demonstrates a demonstration of the effective financial management throughout the year. Paragraph 4.3 of the report sets out the most significant pressures during the year, which are largely consistent with those reported in earlier reports. And Appendix A sets out more detailed variations in the normal manner. Appendix D to the report sets out a number of carry-forward requests totaling £190,000 for your consideration. And the report proposes that the outturn surplus be set aside to support ongoing pressures highlighted in the MTFS, including, of course, the ongoing impact of the pandemic. Section 5 of the report covers treasury management activities, and at the end of the financial year, our investment stood at £46 million, with the average rate of return for the year being around 0.21%, and exceeding both the bank base rate and also benchmarks. A full schedule of investments is attached to Appendix B in the normal manner, and our external borrowing stood at £11 million, which is broadly consistent with previous reports. Overall, treasury management activities have been in line with the approved treasury management strategy. Section 6 of the report covers the capital programme and sets out expenditure against the programme of £6.9 million. A number of projects are taking place, or ongoing, or taking place over several years, and therefore it is recommended that £4 million is approved to be carried forward to enable those projects to continue. The table at 6.4 sets out capital receipts that have been generated during the course of the year, totaling 1.4 million, a large proportion of which have already been allocated towards debt repayment as a part of our approved medium-term financial strategy. Section 7 of the report covers the business rates retention scheme, and the scheme came into effect back in 2013-14 and does form a principal element of local government finance. It provides financial benefit from economic growth, but also an exposure to significant risk and uncertainty. It's therefore very pleasing to report the draft out-of-term position of a surplus of 0.7 million. And whilst this is a very positive outcome, there is significant volatility attached to this scheme, and therefore it is recommended that this money is set aside within the business rates reserve, and it is reviewed as part of the development of the medium-term financial strategy for 2022-23 onwards. Finally, Section 8 of the report covers risk management, and Appendix C is a report and schedule of the most significant corporate and strategic risks facing the authority, together with the measures being taken to manage those risks. That covers the key points within the report and overall provides a very positive position and a strong foundation to support the Council in meeting the current and future challenges. There are a number of recommendations for your consideration set out within Section 13 of the report. I'm happy to take any questions through you, Chair.
Thank you, Lisa. Members, is there any questions or comments? Okay, thank you. There's quite a few recommendations set out, so I'll take them all together, all the recommendations in Section 13. I'm happy to propose them. If I could have a seconder, please. Councillor Peters, all those in favour? All those in favour? Thank you, that's carried. Item 7, please, then. Corporate Plan Performance Report, 2020-21, end of year. Can I ask James Arnold to present the report, please?
Thanks, Chair. So, yes, this is the end of year performance report, looking at the Council's progress towards achieving its corporate plan priorities for the 2021 financial year. So we'll just provide a very quick summary of the headlines and the key points arising from the report. But as I hope you can see from the information in the report, the numbers suggest that overall the corporate performance continues to be very good, as it has with previous quarters and indeed previous years. So to summarise, each target has been graded using the usual red, amber, green traffic light style system of ratings, using the normal year-end definitions, which enable us to rank each individual indicator accordingly, dependent on the progress up to the end of March this year. And what the analysis has shown is that out of the 109 targets that we have in total, there are 83 that have been marked as green. There's just 4 that have been highlighted as amber and just 7 that have been highlighted as red. There are also 13 that we previously agreed to defer and 2 that were previously deleted. So if we look purely at the 94 live targets, this equates to the Council being at 88.3% green overall, just 4.26% amber, and it follows that we are just 7.45% red. Just to provide a bit of further breakdown on that, the table you can see on page 5 of the report, that shows how those percentages break down across the various grades within the overarching colour status. It's also worth mentioning the table on page 6, as this shows the summary of the overall performance and how it reflects across the 3 corporate priorities, as well as the 5 cabinet portfolios. But as you can see, even when we consider each of those individually, each specific area is in itself performed very well, as it has with the overall performance. The small number of targets that haven't been graded as fully achieved, they are detailed in the tables you can see on pages 7 through to 11 of the main report. And that just concludes some narrative to provide the context around the situation with each of those indicators. But Appendix 1 that's been attached to the main report does include the comprehensive data on all the indicators in the corporate plan, which really just underpins our monitoring of the performance. So that's a summary of the final position in terms of the performance over the past year. I would also just highlight section 5.9 of the report, which is looking at the targets for the current financial year, so 21-22. As you know, when the corporate plan was approved in early March, as is usually the case, there are a small number of numerical indicators that couldn't have their targets set appropriately, because as to do that effectively, you want to see the final outturn figures. So they are, of course, aren't available till the end of March. So these were agreed to be set post-outturn. But there's targets here now that are proposed for your approval this evening. So that's a quick summary of the key points. As I mentioned at the outset, overall, the numbers suggest that the council continues to be in a very good position in terms of its performance over the past year. Two recommendations arising from the report, which are firstly to consider the council's performance towards achieving those three corporate priorities, and secondly to approve those targets for 21-22 that we've got listed in section 5.9. And with that, I'll hand back to you, Chair, for any questions.
Thank you, James. Can I ask members if there's any comments or questions on the report? Okay, so what we've normally done at this point previous years is to make a to accept the recommendations, but also to make a change to the end of year ambers to red. We're going to make that amendment and then ask for a proposer. Sorry, Councillor Fawner, I'm going to make that amendment and ask for a proposer to I'll just list the targets that are currently amber, and we'll recommend that the change to red at CR07, CR21, EHW23, VFM34A, from amber to red to reflect the end of year position. With that amendment, can I ask for a seconder? Councillor Faulkner, all those in favour? That's carried, thank you. Item 8, please. Project to maximise value for money and improve pathways out of supported housing. Can I call Brett Atkinson to present, please?
Thank you, Chair. The Council has experienced a circa £423,000 increase in net cost over the past 2 years for supported accommodation provided by voluntary organisations. This is the single largest cost presser facing the Council, and is due to sustained growth in the amount of such provision in the borough. The cost arises from housing benefit subsidy losses for payments made in respect of supported accommodation provided by organisations that are not registered providers of social housing. This means that the Council is currently funding some of the costs of supported accommodation through unsubsidised housing benefit payments. The plan, which can be found at Appendix 1, is designed to ensure that the sector provides value for money, and that residents do not occupy this accommodation for any longer than would be beneficial in meeting their needs. Naturally, the programme plan will evolve over the life cycle of the project. The themes within the plan are improving the pathway to settled housing by maximising access to allocation on the housing register, expanding the number of exit pathways and upskilling the relevant support staff working for the accommodation provider, containing the growth of the sector by engaging informally with existing providers, and creating an Article 4 direction requiring providers to gain planning permission, seeking registration with the regulator of social housing for the one remaining provider to be assessed, and monitoring the remaining set of providers to see whether their circumstances have sufficiently changed to warrant revisiting the assessment, enforcing applicable standards, such as those contained within the housing benefit regulations and the rules concerning houses of multiple occupation and selective licensing where applicable, exploring potential ways that selective and additional licensing can be introduced and monitored in the borough, and finally, make a meaningful contribution to government policy on supported housing wherever possible. So the recommendation is to implement the plan at Appendix 1. That concludes my summary. So with that, I'll hand back to you, Chair, for any questions.
Thank you, Brett. Is there any comments or questions from members? Councillor Faulkner.
Thank you, Chair. Not a question, it's a comment. This project is not meant to be a short-term fix-it project. It's going to take a considerable amount of time and effort to actually impact on the housing benefits, supplementary benefits programme. And it will take at least 12 to 18 months before we see any positive impact on this. And I applaud Brett and his team and Bernard and the regulatory team to actually work together to achieve what we are hoping will be a significant reduction in the amount of benefits that we are paying out. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Faulkner. Any other comments? Can I propose that we take the recommendations forward then? Can I have a seconder? Councillor Faulkner. All those in favour? Thank you, that's carried. That concludes the public part of the meeting. So can I move that in accordance with section 100A4 of the Local Government Act 1972, the press and public be excluded for the remainder of the meeting, as it is likely, in view of the nature of the business to be transacted or the nature of the proceedings, that there would be disclosed exempt information as defined in the paragraph 1 of Schedule 12A of the Act, indicated in brackets before the item number on the agenda.